Question number 21289, Rule 2.
Mr. Holt, Rule 2.
Next, we, having become fully qualified glider pilots, we were sent to the south of England to become fully qualified soldiers, was the description. We were stationed on the outskirts of Bournemouth, and there we did route marches, we did all the training that one would expect of commandos. That was you don't want me to go into the actual training,
yes,
do you?
Please.
Such as battle drill.
Battle drill.
Battle drill. Yeah.
What does that consist of?
Well, that means, shall we say, get marching and put it this way: we had to cross rivers. We had to go at night from through woods, make our way from one target to another. We were sent. We had to shoot the enemy if we came across them, etc. You know, with etc. All that sort of drill. And I can't describe everything that one does. It was just pure battle drill. What one had to do in a battle, or if when you'd be practicing what you would do if you're retreating, be practicing what you do if you're advancing. You would be taught how to keep your mouth shut and keep quiet and creep about in woods and that sort of thing. You would plus the fact we were taught to use virtually every weapon that could be used by the infantry. We used Bren guns, machine guns, Piat guns, rifles, of course, and we were also taught to use up to, I think it was a 6-pounder tank gun, because one of the things that they would expect us to do was when we got down, and we were trained to, when we landed, we were trained to work together as a unit, like a squadron would become the similarity of a company, an infantry company. And that was our job then, was to work as soldiers again. That went on all the time, one way and another.
And this is in the south of England somewhere?
Yes, we were stationed in Bournemouth, and we used to go in all the wild lands around Bournemouth, etc. What happened then? When was that? Back end of 42, wasn't it? That's what happened. What happened then was that we were sent back to, we were split up, and we finished up on an aerodrome with gliders and etc. No, we didn't, sorry. What we did from there was, I was sent with six or seven others, I forget exactly how many. I was sent to an aerodrome, I forget the name of it now, but it was on Salisbury Plain anyway, Netherhaven. We were sent to Netherhaven, and our job at Netherhaven, if I remember rightly, was to fly... Practice with the RAF how to keep gliders in the air for up to 10 or 11 hours. Because what they had in mind was the next operation, which was the invasion of Sicily and the other, because whilst we've been doing all this mucking about on Salisbury Plain and around Bournemouth, the army were fighting in North Africa. And it was around about that time that the Americans invaded the they invaded North Africa at the western end of Africa. So our job, what they wanted to do was to fly Horsa gliders from England to North Africa, to Morocco in the first place, and then from Morocco onwards. And so to do that, a glider and his towing aircraft had to stay in the air for at least 10 hours, 11 if possible. And that's what we did. We practiced at this aerodrome on Salisbury Plain in all sorts of ways. We practiced doing certain things. One was dropping our wheels and landing on skids. What they got a Horsa glider and they put a skid underneath, and they and tied the wheels up to some machinery that when we pulled a cord, the wheels dropped off. And all that was experimental, to the effect that on two or three occasions, one wheel would not drop off; it would stay dangling and knock holes in the side of the glider, which was not very funny. But we managed it in the end. We managed to keep gliders in the air for 11 hours, towed by Halifaxes. They used Halifaxes to tow us. And I can remember that flight. There was three of us on that flight for 11 hours. And we flew from... we flew from Netheravon. It took us all the way up to the top of Scotland. Then all the way down the west coast to Land's End. Then along the south coast. Then back up again, and then we flew around England in odd places until after 11 hours we landed back in Netheravon. And so after that they knew they could tow gliders from England to there. And whilst we were doing this, they got the regiment. They put the regiment as it existed at that time, 1943, you know, around about, we went up in... be about July, August of 1943, they sent the glider pilots over to North Africa, to Algiers, actually, the area of Algiers and along the coast from Algiers. They finished up there. And their job when they got there was to start flying training in what we call WECOs, which was the American plane. I forget the exact name for it, but we always called them WECOs anyway. But before they could fly the damn things, they had to receive them from ships, which put them on the aerodrome in boxes. They were all boxed up, these things, so they had to unbox, put them together, and make sure that all the things worked. And then they started training to fly WECOs, because that was a machine that was going to take the majority of the soldiers to Sicily, whereas the Horsas were going to take specialised troops into certain parts of Sicily. That was the whole idea. After the training finished in... then they sent... They had the audacity to one of our squadrons, leave out one of our squadrons in England, and gave them the job of flying horses to Morocco, which they did. And they were very good at that. They only lost two men And I think it's, they lost one or two gliders on the way over, shot down by Germans on the way over. But we, who had done all the training to keep the gliders in the air for 11 hours, they decided we wouldn't fly one to Africa, which we played hell about. They sent us on a boat. They got a special boat for us lot. It went over there by itself. It used to be a ferry from Belgium to England. And it was one of those boats that could go on its own because it could do about 30-odd knots. So we went, we finished up in Algiers on that ship and joined the other lads in Africa. And I forget all the areas. It is an area to the west of Algiers. I forget the names of the places. Anyway, they flew all those wackos which they'd put together, and our horses were flown then by the regiment from that Algiers area over the Atlas Mountains to Sousse area, the area of Sousse, where we did a bit of practicing and training in order that we would be able to land in Sicily in the places we were told to land in. I won't go into the training for that. You can imagine what sort of training it was.
What were conditions like in the Sousse area?
They were very good, actually. September. So it was reasonably warm. We enjoyed the sea, swimming and Sousse and that sort of thing. The flying was good because it was never rain or clouds or that sort of thing that ever bothered us. So our training was good. And we used to, one of the things we used to do was land on salt lakes and that sort of thing. And we did a bit of night flying in the Sousse area, because we were going, when we went to Sicily, we would be landing at night.
How did you get on with the tug pilots?
Very well indeed. Mm-hmm.
Could you coordinate with each other all right?
Oh yes, no problem at all. Mm. Through all my years in the glider pilot regiment, I never at any time knew of or myself experienced any trouble between glider pilots and the RAF pilots. The RAF pilots used to pity us, actually. Now we all got together. We used to play football with them. We joined them in the mess because we were all sergeants, and so in the sergeants' mess we used to have competitions at the billiard table and things like that.
Why did they pity you? Why did they pity you?
Because I don't know whether this could be recorded, because their expression was, "We're dropping you like shit in the foreign country, whilst we go home and have bacon and eggs." That sort of thing. That's the sort of humour that went on. Mm.
Mm. Any incidents that happened to you at Sousse?
No, not really. I can't think of any. We had to force land once. That was it. We force landed in a wacko in the middle of the country once at one time, but that was nothing. We managed to get a message back to the thing, and they came out and picked us up, took the wacko to pieces and brought it back again. But nothing serious of any nature at all. Not in Sousse area.
Were you in a squadron by now?
Yes.
What squadron were you in?
Two, I think it was. Yeah. I think it was two, yeah. Mm.
What happened next?
Oh, we went to Sicily.
Can you take me through the Sicily operation? Yes, step
yes,
by step,
I can do. We went to Sicily. There were all those hawsers were used, to, and a 100 odd. Have I got some figures down there?
Oh, don't worry about figures.
Sicily was invaded by the airborne forces, first by paratroops and by, I think it was about 150 gliders, out of which 30-odd of them were horses. The others were the American American WACOs, which were towed by Dakotas, and they were piloted by American forces. Our planes, the Hawsers, were towed by Albemarle's, that's right, Albemarle's by the RAF. And the whole idea was to land in the on the south coast of Sicily, around, I forget the name of the place now, it might come back to me. Oh dear. Have I got it down there?
Don't think so.
Memory's gone. Anyway, it was a port on the south of Sicily, and before you get to the port, there were two bridges over a canal and a river. And the idea was that they would all land in the area of, shall we say, a couple of miles, I think, overall east of this port that we had to get to, that we were trying to get to.
This is not Syracuse, is it?
Yes, it was. You got it. Yes, it was Syracuse, wasn't it? Yeah. And what happened actually was that I flew with my friend. We flew a Weco to there, not a Hawser, and we landed what we thought was going to be in a field. But when we got there, it was full of trees. So to cut a long story short, we landed between two trees, knocked the wings off, and stopped. But the serious thing that happened then was that all the WACOs, towed by the Americans, the majority of them, for some reason or other, I won't go into detail, for some reason or other, dropped most of our WACOs in the sea. So that's another story. But as far as myself was concerned, the only injury we had was the one of the soldiers had hurt his back when we landed. But the rest of the soldiers in the in our WACO were able to get. There was the border regiment we were taking over at the time. And our job then, our instructions were, as soon as we landed, to get up to the bridge and support the troops who had already landed there. There were a couple of horses were given a very accurate job to do. They had to land right up to the bridge, if they could, which they did. And they took the bridge. They're supported by paratroops and the unit that was in the Hawser gliders. And I got up to the bridge a few hours after landing and joined the glider pilots who were actually defending the bridges. And we defended the bridges until we ran out of ammunition.
What were you armed with?
Rifles.
What kind of attacks were you under?
The Italians were attacking us from, I don't know. We were the west side. of the canals and the bridges, and we'd already got the bridges, and the Italians had the job of trying to get us off the bridges by coming in from the Italian side, you know, from Italy. And we kept them off, we kept the bridges open. Just before the land forces reached us, because our job, the airborne forces' job, was to keep the area open to give the land for the seaborne forces time to land and then get there. But just before, a few hours before they got there, we ran out of ammunition and had to give in. And so we had to surrender, which we did, and we were all taken prisoner.
By Italians or Germans?
Italians. Fortunately, I say fortunately, for very good reasons. And there's a funny little story I can give you there. For amongst my pack, we were given a tin of what appeared to be food, and the Italians loved the idea of taking everything that belonged to us, money, pens, etc., and stowing it away in their own pockets. And they came to this tin in my pack, and they said, "What is it?" And so I told them it was mangiare. So they said, "Oh, good," so in their own language. So they opened the tin, and they got a spoon out, and when they saw this beautiful blue-coloured stuff, and they took a mouthful each. Unfortunately, it was solid methylated spirits. They didn't like that. So we laughed and they cried.
So you deliberately tricked them?
Oh, yes. Yeah, they didn't like it, and they made it pretty obvious that they didn't. Anyway, they marched us away from there, and we hadn't been marching for more than an hour up the road away from the bridges when we met the our land forces. It was the Scots, one of the Scots regiments. I forget which one it was now. But they came. We met them whilst we were walking up the road. They nearly shot us. Actually, they jumped. They were the leading platoon. Saw us, jumped into the ditch by the side of the road and started firing. And we had to shout and tell them to stop and tell them over the wire, because these lads had never seen red berries. They were ex-8th Army, you know. So we had to tell them who we were. So we got rid of the Italians, those that hadn't run away, and took those that were prisoner that were still alive, and finished up enjoying life after that.
Did the Italians whom you tricked take revenge on you?
Only by kicking us on the backside. They were quite really good at it. They didn't do what they could have done, shall we say. Yeah.
How had they fought at the bridges, the Italians?
Well, they didn't do much attacking, let's put it that way. They spent most of the time shooting at us. And we spent most of our time, when they appeared, shooting at them. But they never actually attacked. If it had been the Germans, because of the small number of people that were able to get to the bridge because of the other lads who were swimming about in the sea, if it had been the Germans, they could have taken they'd have taken the bridges after 4 or 5 hours, the way they fight. But the Italians don't fight that way. They were just trying to stop us moving up. That's my opinion, anyway.
So about how many hours do you think you might have been there at the bridges?
Oh. Half a day, a night. Two nights and a bit of a day, I think.
Did you have food and drink to consume?
Well, we had these, we did have these packs, which were... We had tea, and tins of this, that, and the other.
How did the British soldiers treat the Italians when you were liberated?
Oh, very well. Very well indeed. They were very well-mannered people, actually, the Italians. Yeah.
No, I mean, how did the British soldiers treat the Italians?
As I say, we treated them very well, yeah. Mm. Of course, we got to know them, actually, because we didn't go straight back to Africa after that. We moved on for 3 or 4 days, or more, perhaps a week. We hung about in one place or another until we went back to North Africa. Then we went back again to Italy after a while. Yes, that's right. We went back to Taranto, but we went by sea this time. The idea was to take Taranto, so they sent us by sea instead of air, and which we did. And we stayed in Italy. That would have been somewhere beginning of October, I think. We went back to Italy, took Taranto. We didn't. We helped to take Taranto. Let's put it that way. We didn't get involved in a lot of fighting. Not the glider pilot regiment, but the other lads had a bit to do, but not much. One of the unfortunate things about taking Taranto was one of our ships. I forget the name of it now. Blew up in the harbour because it got itself over one of these magnetic bombs we understand, and it went down. And one of those, when we got to Taranto, one of the jobs they gave the glider pilot regiment, because we were all staff sergeants and sergeants, we had the job of policing the docks. And also another job they gave us was to go about the harbour in boats, finding the bodies of the lads who'd been killed on this boat. I can't remember the name of it, might be down there. We would take their particulars off them, you know, the neck, the thing around the neck which gave the name and everything, and then do what we were trained to do, so that the lads sunk. We didn't bring the bodies back, we left them there. But we had to pierce them, and they went down. So that wasn't that was one of the jobs they gave us. And then...
How good a swimmer are you?
Very good. I didn't have to swim anyway, actually. Well, we advanced up behind the army then, because what happened then, Sicily was taken, and Montgomery sent his forces up through Italy until they got adjacent with the lads in Taranto, and that ran. Then they all joined together and they started advancing as an army into Italy itself. Can't remember all the details at all, but what we did, we just followed up behind and did odd jobs for them, and, you know, like policing, etc. But we didn't do any fighting. But we were told we were reserves. We acted as reserves behind the parachutes. That's what happened. Parachutes would be about 2 or 3 miles in front of us, but we were there to assist if they ever needed any help. That's the only way I can describe it. And that went on until December. That's right, December 1943. They sent us back to Sousse, North Africa, again by boat, and after a small period there, We were all put on a train, and the train took us to all the way through Africa to Algiers. And at Algiers, or it was either old Algiers or Oran, I forget which. But we finished up on a boat on Christmas Eve. That took us back to England. And we landed back in England in January, back end of January. And we were then, we finished up on